And what was the first one? His grace. Right, right. God opened up his heavenly department store, and he puts on display his grace, his omnipotence, and his omniscience. And he says, look at this and glorify me. His grace. Behold, this day in the city of David, of what is born? A Savior. A Savior. That is the grace of God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glenn, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, the Angels. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, the Angels.
I'm like, come on, man. You know, the Lord is using you, right? You don't need to get humble. You know, I mean, you know, learn how to receive, you know, a compliment and give it to God, right? You know, oh, no, that wasn't me, it was all God, you know? I'm like, see, at that point, man, I'm like, but on the flip side, right? You know, we don't want to be glory hogs, right? You know, we don't want, you know, people to see us and we act like, you know, it's all me, right? You know, it was me that did it, look at me, you know, it was me, you know, but so there has to be that balance there so that in our lives, you know, through our the offering of our lives, through our thanksgiving, and through offering our resources, that God is getting the praise. That you genuinely know how to give God the praise. Because the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter what you say on the outside when somebody says something good about you. It makes no difference what you say on the outside. The key is what's happening in your heart. And if your heart is bowed, and if your heart is humbled, and you say, man, you know, I'm nothing without God. If it wasn't for God, there's no way in the world I could have done this. And so when we talk about deep thoughts on a holy night, what's some deep thoughts on a holy night is the fact that you are glorifying God. Those angels glorify God. And then finally, when we think about what does it mean to give God glory, you know, when we have these deep thoughts about giving God the glory. And I tell you what, now I might be wrong on this because as I read, I had all kind of interpretations on the beauty of holiness. So I just said, you know what, I'm going to meditate on this and I'm just going to share what it means to me. So you may go meditate on it and the beauty of holiness seems like something else to you. But remember in 1 Chronicles 16, it says to worship him in the beauty of holiness. And as I thought about what is the beauty of holiness, you know, I asked the question. And so this helped me. And it was, what is beautiful about holiness? It says the beauty of holiness. And I asked myself the question, what is the beauty of holiness? And just one word came to my mind. And that one word was purity. To me, that's the beauty of holiness. You know, what does holy mean? Holy means to be without sin. It means to be without spot. James says, in God is light, and there is no darkness at all. To have no darkness. And the one word that came to my mind was purity. And that when I worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, I'm worshiping God in his purity. I'm worshiping him because he is a purity of being, that there's no darkness in him. There's no shadow of turning with God. He is absolute pure in his being. There's no spot. There's no blemish in God at all. You know, I was teaching through the book of Daniel, and, you know, I was going back, and I said, you know, Daniel was one of the only people in the Bible that we read that there's nothing bad said about him, right? There's nothing bad. I said, you know, he's the only one. And then there was a lady in the class, and she said, Pastor, it seems like you being kind of chauvinistic. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, because, you know, Esther is another one. I said, oh, you're right. you're right. You know, so, you know, here's two people that, again, as spotless as their lives were, you know, they weren't holy in the sense that God is, that God's being is absolutely pure. And that means his thoughts. He has purity of thoughts. And so that even when God says, and this gets deep right here, right? This gets real deep. So even when God says that someone must pay for their sins, right? That's even out of his purity. You know, God is not saying that to be mean, and God is not saying that to be vindictive. The fact of the matter is that somebody got to pay for sin. Somebody got to pay for it. And if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it. White as snow. Jesus paid for it. And so the fact is, because God is pure, because he is pure, he has to deal with sin. He just can't let sin go and let people do what they want to do and commit all kind of evil. That sin has to be paid for. And so even in his thoughts, where he thinks about sin being paid for, it's all about purity. It's not about being vindictive. It's not about being cruel. It's not about punishing evil, right? Or punishing in an evil way, but it's pure. His thoughts are pure. And so people have to pay. And so that's the way that they pay, because of the purity of God. And then even in the things that God does, you know, his purity of deeds. You know, God never has a wrong motive to do anything. That his motives are pure and his deeds align with his motive. And so doesn't it, just think, deep thoughts. A deep thought is for you to think about this absolutely pure God and how that he has no shadow of turning and that there's no darkness in him at all. And so the angels that night said, glory, glory to God in the highest. And maybe they had some of these thoughts, but I'm just trying to get us to have some deep thoughts about a holy night. Now let me go to the second part of the message. And the second part of the message, it says, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. So I'm going to say this, because I think that the Christmas spirit of the world has mistranslated this meaning. The Christmas spirit of the world has mistranslated this verse. And what is the Christmas spirit of the world? The Christmas spirit of the world is peace on earth everywhere. Peace on earth everywhere, and goodwill towards every person on this earth. That's not what it means. All right? That's not what it means. So, you know, we get, so again, I done messed y'all's theology up about the wise men, right? I done messed it up about that. There was no wise men at the manger, right? There was no at the nativity. You know, I tell people, again, if you got wise men, you don't throw them away. But when you put up your nativity scene, just put the wise men all the way on the other side of your yard, right? Because, you know, they weren't there yet. They might have been on the way, but they weren't there yet. All right, so I didn't mess that up. So, you know, let me mess up another thing. Some of y'all gonna get mad at me. I know some people gonna get mad at me, but you know, when we have the Christmas cards that say peace on earth and goodwill towards, you know, like everybody. That's that's wrong. That's exactly wrong. So, you know, again, I know some of y'all done bought. See, that's why you should have bought your Christmas cards from the mission board. even though this peace is intended for all people, it's intended for everyone, it only rests on those who have received God's favor. You know, those who have accepted that peace and allow it to live within them, that those are the only ones who it is acceptable to. So this idea, you know, peace on earth. Well, I'm going to show you, keep going. I'm going to show you something here in a second. Next slide. The world is not at peace. So when you send out the card that says peace on earth and goodwill toward men, You know, that's a misrepresentation. Because, first of all, back to the other one. There you go. The world is not at peace. All right, just go. You know one thing, and I had to stop. I went online and I looked up all the wars in the history of the world. And I had to stop. Because it kept going on and on and on and on and on. I mean, it's unbelievable the number of wars that has been in the world. And so look at this. How many peace treaties have been broken? Every last one of them. Every last one of them. And then, you know, when I was reading one thing, and I thought this was interesting. The government has broken over 500 treaties with American Indians, right? Broken over five. The government, United States government, has broken over to people that were native to this land, that were here before anybody else got here, right? People came in and said, this is our land, right? And it was our, how you get a land when there's people already here, right? So over 500 treaties have been broken with American Indians. In 1958, the New York Times reported that there had been 14,553 wars that they knew about since 36 years before Christ was born. And then, this is amazing right here. The United States of America has been in a war every year since this country began. So where's that peace among men? Right? Where's that peace at? You know, it's definitely when you look at the nations of the world, you don't see it. And I put this up here. Now, you probably won't be able to see it. But as of November 2019, all those places, and you know, I probably should have did a better job on this map, are places in the world where war is going on. So, you know, if you look at the purple areas, these are major wars. Now, we're talking about in 2019, 10,000 or more deaths in the current or past year. All right, I'm about to look at this other one on my notes because I'm having a hard time seeing it up there. All right. Might not be able to see it on my notes. Okay, and the next statistic is that, now, the first one was major wars. The second one is just wars. And in wars, up until 2019, there were between 1,000 and 9,900 deaths in the current or past year. Major conflicts in the world. In this year or the past year, up until and still going on in 2019, was 100 to 999. And then little skirmishes and clashes from up in 2019, for the last 2 years, there have been at least 100 deaths. So, and this is all because of war, right? War that in 2019 that's going on right now all over the world. So somebody tell me. Where is this peace at? Right? Where, peace on earth? Goodwill toward men? Can't be talking about everybody. And even from an individual standpoint, from a human standpoint, if you go to the next slide, mankind is not at peace. All right? That's people here, sitting here today that's not at peace. Right? We got homicides. We got robberies. We got assaults. We got abuse, we got arson, right? Are those signs of peace, right? No, they don't look like to me. You know, we've all heard the story about this young lady in New York that was walking in the park, and teenagers robbed her and stabbed her to death, right? Where's the peace at? Where's the peace at? And so even from a personal standpoint, anxiety, addiction, stress, depression, fears, suicide. Where is the peace? You know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. These are some deep thoughts. I'm trying to get us to think deeply today. And as we look at Luke 2:14, just let me share it with you in several translations. The King James says, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so we know, again, that's what the world wants to capitalize on. They want to capitalize on that. but as we look at other translations. So I'm trying to get to the meaning of what does it mean when it says peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Well, the NIV, it says this, and peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests. That those who have received the peace of God, those are the ones that have God. The New American Standard says this, and on earth peace among men whom he is pleased. Right? How do you please God? You please God by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when the peace rests upon you. The ESV, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. So this idea of goodwill among everybody, yeah, I mean, we would love to have it. It would be great if that was the case. But my brothers and sisters, it just ain't so. So we look at this verse here, Luke 10, verses 5 and 6. And Jesus says this, as soon as you enter a home, he told the ones that as they were going out, he said, as soon as you enter a home, say, God bless this home with peace. If the people living there are peace-loving, your prayer for peace will bless them. But if they are not peace-loving, keep on stepping. keep on stepping. So even Jesus emphasized the point that the peace has to be received. That if the peace is not received, that it's not peace. You're not at peace. And so when we think about, all right, thank you, deep thoughts on the peace spoken of by the angels. So you really want to know? So maybe you need to get your Christmas cards. And go ahead and send out this verse, but maybe put these notes that I'm getting ready to give you in your car. Come on, man. Y'all lighten up, man. You know, lighten up a little bit, man. All right. You know, the first thing that these angels were talking about when they said on whom the peace rests, they were talking about inner peace, right? Inner peace. And this is an inner peace that rests in the heart when, one, a person is right with God. And then two, when you are right with God, you have the peace. Oh, say that again. Say that again. When you're right with God, you got the peace of God, right? Romans 5:1, now having peace with God. And then Philippians 4:7, and God give you peace that passes all understanding. See, when you accept Jesus Christ, you know, and that's what the angels were saying that night. The angels were saying that peace on earth among whom his goodwill rests. That if God's goodwill is resting upon you, if you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have peace with God and you have the peace of God. Wow. Wow. See what I'm saying? You see what this means? Right? That's what it's talking about. And then he was talking about a future peace. External peace, because in Isaiah, let's turn there. Let's turn there. Isaiah chapter 9. So he was talking about an external peace. He was talking about a peace that would be on all people, but it's not right now. Isaiah chapter 9. And verse 6, and it says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Now, who is that? That's Jesus, right? And the government shall be upon his, the government shall be upon his shoulders. Let me ask you a question. Is the government upon his shoulders now? No. Some of y'all said, no. Right. No, but there's coming a day when he will come back to this earth and the government will be upon his shoulders and the order of the day will be peace. There will, you know, the Bible says that the lion and the lamb will lay down together. It says that a child will pick up a snake and play with a snake and it won't bite him. Now, you let a lion and a lamb lay down together today. And what you got, lamb chops, right? Why? Because there's no peace between the lion and the lamb. But during the day when Christ, when he establishes his government, it's going to be a government of peace. And his name, watch this. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the what? Prince of Peace. And so there's not going to be any external peace as far as nations are concerned. There's, the only time that this is going to happen is when Christ comes. Look at verse 7. It said, of the increase of his government. Again, that's his ruling here on earth. Now look at this. Wow. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with justice and righteousness from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So what were the angels talking about that night? Some deep thoughts on a holy night. They were talking about internal peace that the babe would bring. Peace with God and the peace of God. And they were talking about the 1,000-year reign when Jesus comes back to this earth. As I close the message today, the story is told about a tribe or two tribes in New Guinea. And they were cannibalistic. And they were always fighting each other. They were always at war with each other. And there was a missionary that was working among them. And he tried his best to bring peace between them, but it just wasn't happening. And so the missionary let them know that, you know, he was going to leave. And they asked him, if we can establish peace between us, will you stay? And the missionary said, I can't see how you're going to do it, because eventually what was going to happen, you know, they were killing each other, and eventually there was not going to be either tribe left. And so what they did, the next day, the king from one tribe, he ran out with a little baby in his arms, and his wife was behind him, screaming and hollering. And he ran, and he gave his child to the king of the other tribe. And the king of the other tribe took one of his children, one of his young children, and gave it to the king of the other tribe. And they said that as long as these children live, there will be peace among us. And actually, the missionary wrote a book. And you know what the name of the book was? The Peace Child. The Peace Child. I'm here to tell you that there's wars all around. There's wars without, and there's war within. And God gave up his firstborn. God gave up his only begotten son to be the peace child. That as long as he's alive, and as long as he rules and reigns in your heart, that you will always have peace.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Mary. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, The Angels, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, The Angels. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, The Angels, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, 034 Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.